God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I listened this morning, to public radio coming out of Spokane, Washington. I just fat-fingered the radio dial. And I heard them trying to display the so-called Republican point of view on discussing Joe Biden and his absolutely clear dementia. And if you've listened to this program for the past 18 months or so, you know that I make no effort to hide the fact that I don't believe Joe Biden ran anything. I do not believe he was elected. I know the election was rigged. I personally believe it was stolen. I believe it was installed. I've said many, many times, this is drama. This is a man reading lines, right up to having his own stage set, the fake Oval Office that was created apparently so they could have a 25-foot huge teleprompter from which he could read. And yes, I'll join every other decent human who prays for Biden that he will live long enough to reacquaint himself with Jesus Christ. And I know that sounds harsh, but I'm simply looking at what he has done and allowed to be done through him that leads me to believe he has rejected the gift of redemption that is free to all of us. We can't earn it. I believe we can reject it. I understand other people say that means you were never saved, perhaps. And I do not believe for half a second that this cancer in Biden metastasized over the last half year, nor do I believe that they stopped doing blood tests on a man that they wanted to treat as the leader of the free world, which I recently heard. So I heard this public radio program, and they were saying that Republicans simply want to distract from President Trump, therefore they want to focus on Biden because he's not president anymore. It doesn't make any difference. May I just right now beg in the most vibrant and dramatic way to differ? We have no idea who held the nuclear football. Just please pause. What we know is that the people who ran Joe Biden had decided it was so bad that they set up scripted cabinet meetings. It was so bad that when they had these scripted cabinet meetings, they used multiple cameras to film it, or them. So the reason they use multiple cameras is this. If during the cabinet meeting someone flubbed their lines, they could go back and more easily have someone retake their lines. Here's what I mean. If there's one camera filming the room and a cabinet member didn't speak their lines properly, they would have to go back and edit that. But how? Everybody could be seen. So they had cameras that they could aim at the figureheads or at the whole room or at an individual speaker. That way, if an individual speaker flubbed their lines, they could go back and replace that with a camera tight on them. Do you know how much time that wasted? How much money? Doge has then discovered that it's about $214 million a year that your government was spending on your money to work on communication strategies. In other words, ways to lie to us more artfully. So with that, knowing that those people were doing that, fake cabinet meetings because they're scripted, knowing this, do you honestly believe they gave that man the nuclear football? Honestly? The people who ran Joe Biden have kids. They have loved ones. They probably would like to continue to live. they might well be still have enough of a soul to not want to see the world destroyed in a nuclear war, God forbid. And you think they gave him the nuclear codes and the football? I can't fathom it. I wouldn't do it. Would you drive with him? I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm saying if he said, I'll drive the kids to the lake right along the river. No. No one would do that. It matters because the harm continues. The harm injected into this country and put upon this country for 4 years. And the harm was, some of it was self-inflicted. This is The Atlantic, a publication owned by leftists with leftist goals. Headline, how her misled the country on Biden's memory. The report is out now with the full audio. Robert Herr didn't mislead anybody. It was very, very sad to listen to, and I assume you've heard it. It's very long, or I'd play it. It's torturous, or I'd play it. Biden was asked, where did you store these classified documents? And for 5.5 minutes, roughly, he doesn't answer the question, and that's par for the course of politicians, but he displays the fact that he doesn't know what year his son died. I've heard people say that's just not true. It is. He didn't know it across a series of years. 4 years, he had no idea. And he spoke of it all the time because it pained him. In that answer, he seemed to forget he was ever vice president. There's a guy named Stephen Miller, who's very smart, very good on social media, good writer. Just FYI, he throws out the occasional curse word, and more than occasional. Incredibly smart guy. He's been archiving the Mockingbird Media and their cover-up of this. They weren't fooled. Chris Saliza is, in my judgment, one of the most shameless partisans at CNN. Chris Saliza tweeted, this was absolutely shameful. The White House was extremely aggressive with reporters and on social media, casting her as some wild-eyed GOP operative. Okay, that's what he wrote recently, this week. On August 19th, 2021, Chris Saliza, in a piece on CNN, had the headline that reads the following. Republicans keep trying to make Biden's mental capacity an issue. Which one, Chris? It matters because the nation kept going. It matters because the machinery kept running. It matters because we didn't have a president, but things kept happening. It matters because if they're willing to lie about this and put on drama for this, about which are they not willing to lie? Stephen Miller also had this. Michelle Goldberg, writing in the New York Times of February 12, 2024, Biden's age is a campaign problem, not a governing one. Just a little more than a year later, May 16, 2025, Michelle Goldberg, writing in the New York Times opinion section, wrote, how did so many elected Democrats miss Biden's infirmity? Wait, I thought it was just a campaign issue. We need to talk about this because they can do it again with someone else. We need to know which of the orders this man put down upon us in terms of these pardons and commutations that he even knew existed. He did 2,490 commutations in a way. Do you think he is capable of reading 25 of them? Let alone 2,490. Here's a compilation put together by Grabian, full of the Mockingbird Media covering up Joe Biden's mental decline.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And if you can't handle the truth, this version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as she was nine.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation, remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie?
Jackie was dead.
She wasn't going to be here.
She was deceased. And that clip rolls on and on and on for 3 minutes. He's asking, where's Jackie? She's dead. When we watched this all unfold, did it occur to you that you were being acted in front of, that this was a drama? And here's a few more talking heads hiding Joe Biden's mental state.
I was sitting, you know, of 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR. He wanted war.
But he's totally focused. He's very sharp.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas.
Gravitas, there's that word. The media didn't just defend Joe Biden's mental health, but they attacked anyone who questioned it. Do you have that clip?
You have Wall Street Journal running a horribly sourced piece saying that Biden is unfit.
Dubious Wall Street Journal report about the president's acuity.
Shoddy story by the Wall Street Journal questioning Biden's mental fitness.
Wall Street Journal story had a lot of flaws, as you said. But Sinclair, they didn't do any original reporting. They didn't follow up. They didn't do any work.
Brian Stelter, ladies and gentlemen. It matters that we talk about this because of people who died in Afghanistan. Their lives mattered. Someone somewhere decided that we would announce to the Taliban, here's the day we're going to leave. And incidentally, Taliban, what we've decided to do is to take our very well-secured military airport that we've had years to build up defenses for. We're going to scuttle that, not use it. Instead, we're going to go to a commercial airport, far less defensible, on this day at this time, and begin our extraction process. Someone decided that. We're told it was the figurehead. We need to understand something. Exactly what are we going to do as a country so this can never happen again? Exactly what are going to be the steps so that the American people can actually see their presidents answering questions? Can I suggest one? They do the address to the state, to the union, State of the Union address. Can I suggest something from Congress? What about this? What about demanding that we have completely unscripted conferences with presidents? That we get to ask questions, us, the people. What if we just have a national lottery? And yeah, there's going to be some wackos that get through. There are going to be some idiots that get through. Some people are going to ask some rude questions. How does the chief executive deal with it? There's also going to be some people who get through and ask some very poignant and very considered questions. Hard ones to answer. I might ask this of President Trump. I might say something like this: Mr. President, when was the last time you felt deep repentance for something you've done and asked Jesus to forgive you? Now, is that an uncomfortable question? It is. Is it fair? It is. He's our leader and a man who professes faith in Christ. And leader means something. It doesn't just mean policy. It means personnel. It means philosophy. Another question I might ask, straight out, and this is breaking news, it just came out. The FDA has decided to stop shots, COVID shots, for people under the age of 65. This is the first series of moves against the mRNA injections. They're going to reject future COVID shots for anyone under 65. I might ask President Trump, Mr. President, are you open to reviewing evidence that shows that the COVID shots have destroyed the reproductive system of women, have ended the lives of babies, and have given people turbo cancer? Sir, are you willing to look at that evidence and change your minds about these shots? I would like to see our presidents actually display mental faculties worthy of being the leader of the free world. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Next segment, we'll get to the Tower of Babel and the personal notes and a cleanup item or two. Man, it's nice to hear Todd Starnes also calling out the nuclear football question. We do need to dig into it because it could happen again. In this segment, we concentrate on being in the world and not of it. And I made the address this again because it just has made such an impact on me. There are people asking me, and it's happening on YouTube a lot. For some reason, people are very, very, very right now obsessed with asking me, do you literally believe that if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to hell? Do you literally believe that? And they're using that phrase. And this has come to me in multiple different channels. Like, do you actually believe that atheists and Hindus are not going to heaven, and Muslims, if they will not change and follow Jesus? And the best way to answer this I've come to is, wait, why does it matter what I believe? Truly, if we're going to be in this world and not of it, what value does our own wisdom have? So I've begun answering this question with a question, and it annoys people. And so what I'll say, particularly on YouTube where people are questioning me on this, is I promise you I will answer you right after you answer this question, even if you choose not to really answer it. Why does my opinion on this matter? And when I've asked that and people are intellectually honest, they've said, because you have said that's what you believe. That's why it matters. So defend it. Okay. I can't think of a much more clear statement than Jesus Christ saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but through me. That is absolutely clear. And to that, I've had people say to me, what about love thy neighbor? And my response has, I think, gotten better over time as people said this to me. Because initially I'd say, right, sometimes love says no, and sometimes God says no. And God just gave me a better way because I was using my own wisdom. And God just chastised me. Why are you using your words? Stop using your words. Use mine. So when people have asked me this now in these conversations, what about love thy neighbor? What God's led me to say is, well, wait, help me understand how you view love. What does that mean? And of course, people who are not biblically literate, or even, I mean, there's people who read the Bible and they don't know that there's a definition for love. It's neither angry nor proud. It does not keep lists of grievances. It's faithful. It's charitable. It's tolerant, joyful. And when you provide that, it's difficult to come away from that and say it's also dishonest. The same God who says you shall not lie is the same God who describes love in very specific ways, who describes the fruits of the Spirit in very specific ways, very specific attributes. And so what I've said in return when people say this, what about love thy neighbor? I say, well, how do you define love? And if I'm sitting there with my Bible app, I can pull it out and say, look, here's how the Bible defines it. Again, my opinion doesn't matter. But God says, you shall not lie. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I can't lie to people. There's nothing in the Bible that says when you love someone, lie to them. But people continue to ask these questions. And then it's occurred to me, because they desperately, desperately want a way out. They desperately want to believe they don't have to make a decision. And sometimes I've referred to this as the rock and the river phenomena, where people psychologically are acting like folks who've had a raft overturn. So stick with me in this metaphor. So it's very common when people are in the water and a raft overturns and they're panicked and they're going down the river. They'll grab onto a rock or a log. A log's a better metaphor, actually. The rocks are, you know, hard to grab onto. There's a log. People grab onto this log and that's it. They're going to hold onto that log. And they're going to grip that log. And other people might get to shore. They swim. They know how to go with the current. Rescuers come. And there's a couple people, then they're on that log. And they're holding that log for dear, dear life. And I'm not going to let go of the log. I'm not going to make a decision. And eventually, rescuers get there, and they might bring out a helicopter, and they lower a basket, and a rescuer will come down and help people in the basket. Or sometimes they'll string, if they can't get a helicopter, they'll string these ropes downriver, and they'll put a bunch of rescuers on there, and they're ready to grab you when you come by, and there's this rope, and they've got this net, and all sorts of ways to get you out of the water. And there's three people trapped on that log, and one goes up in a basket, the other goes down the river, gets rescued, pulled up by rescue, but there's that person who's going to sit there on that log. That log is going to save me. It's the only safe thing. It's the only thing that's solid. I'm just going to grip this log for the rest of my life, which in that cold water will last about 2.5 minutes more. So on a spiritual sense, there's people gripping the log of, but God, he loves us. He's not going to send us to hell for not believing us. He loves us. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm not going to commit. I can't. I'm going to hold on to this log of universalism and this log that. But here's the rescue. It's right here. Here's the narrow path. We're showing you where it is. The narrow path is right here. It's through Jesus. He's not just the light. He's the map. He's the road. He is the way. And the truth and the life. And it's right here. This is the narrow path. Just walk here. But then I have to make a decision. I've had young men tell me that they don't want to make that decision because if they do, they're afraid they're going to mess it up. Well, then God's really going to be angry. Wait, you believe in me. You decided to treat me as your savior and you screwed up. But guys, I have news. God knows we're going to screw up. In fact, he knows the screw-ups we're going to make, and he loves us anyway. And the gift of redemption is still there. But in this world that is so confusing, this is why the issues of truth are so important. We speak truth spiritually. I just did that. I'm trying to do that in a better way with people, trying to let God take over and not use my own wisdom. But we have to speak truth because the world is so packed with lies. Do you remember Rachel Levin? Rachel Levin was the man who pretended to be a woman who was second in charge of Health and Human Services. Rachel Levin is a man who is on recorded phone calls yelling at academics about how much money they can make transing kids, the profit margins. So here's some news from Smith College in regard to Rachel Levin, that man who famously pretends to be a woman.
Hi, my name is Irene Lawrence. I'm here from Women's Declaration International, USA, and I'm here with several women from New England Women's Solidarity, as well as DIAG, Democrats for an Informed Approach to Gender, and we're here protesting the fact that tomorrow Smith College is going to be honoring a man who claims to be a woman, Richard Levine, and he will be receiving an honorary degree.
So a man is going to a women's college, Smith College, to receive a degree as if he were a woman. And Jenna, one of the many Smith College alumni who protest the action, spoke against the college.
Yeah, I'll talk. I'm Jenna. I grew up on the Smith campus, and when I was at Hampshire, I took classes at Smith, and I understand the value of a woman-only education. And now Smith is erasing the presence of women from all communications on their campus by including men. And if they wanted to include men, they should have made it a unisex college instead of continuing to be a women's college that admits men.
We have to speak truth, even the very, very difficult truths. Yes, I do believe if you're a Muslim or a Hindu or an atheist, I do believe you're choosing to go to hell. But there's the narrow path. And I do believe that there's no such thing as a transgender person. I believe there are people who are gender confused, gender defiant, gender denying, gender preferring. I simply don't believe you're born in the wrong body because you are your body. For adults who want to go get these surgeries, okay, wish you wouldn't. But I'm not going to give in to the lie. And the lie is so pervasive. This is from the UK. It's a man named India Woolby. This is his Twitter bio. Biological woman, trans, broadcaster, woman of the year, illegally female in the most transphobic country in Europe. And India, of course, is a man. And he just posted, if the Labour Party votes to ban the most persecuted group of women in the country from all its women's groups, then its relationship with the LGB so-called T plus is irretrievable. What a sad and ugly state of affairs this court has created. J.K. Rowling, who has chosen this hill on which to die, praise God. I wish she'd choose God. I wish she could see that this is evil that is at a spiritual level. After all, much of Harry Potter is actually inspired by the New Testament. Did you know that? So J.K. Rowling wrote back, India, you're not part of any group of women, let alone persecuted ones. You're a member of a subset of men who've gotten used to being pandered to by certain politicians, law enforcement, and elite institutions, and you're throwing a tantrum because you're scared the jig is up. And in England, it nearly is. Because they have made, at a Supreme Court level, reality, reality again. There's another reason we must tell truth, and that is because the lies are just killing the minds of people. They're just taking anything people want to believe and turning it into a viable belief. So let's look at this. The young man who made the decision to go and blow up a fertility clinic. And this is apparently his manifesto. Have you looked at it? I'm not going to read it all because I don't want to read it all. And I'm not going to say his name because it might be what he wanted. Pro-mortalist? So you're just a pro-psycho killers? Listen to this babble, but then understand it's his truth. Remember that phrase? This is his truth. No, understand that your death is already guaranteed, and you can thank your parents for that one. All pro-mortalist is saying is let's make it happen sooner rather than later, and preferably peaceful rather than some disease or accident. To prevent your future suffering, and more importantly, the suffering your existence will cause to all other sentient human beings. Does that strike you as unbelievably cold and arrogant? I'm a poor mortalist, so to prevent your suffering, I'm going to take away your life. I'm going to take away the pleasures you'll have on this earth, the satisfactions, the struggles, the growth. Now, in point of fact, to this wannabe killer, you can harm the flesh, but not the soul. So let's fear he who can harm both. And in his document, he says, you're going to burn in hell for this. Here's his response. I know, not a question. But I just wanted to say, your God definitely doesn't exist. But if he did, I'd choose Satan over your evil God. Did you ever think that maybe the Bible is just slander against Satan and that Satan just realized what a blank creep your God is? And you can go through and read this, all the things he identified as an abolitionist vegan. Terrifying for me because my daughter's a vegan. Abolitionist vegan is to free all the animals and to turn the violence on the people. He is crazy, or was. But what does society in a post-truth world tell him? It's your truth, man. It's your truth. So if we can't agree on some very, very basic things, going backwards in this segment now, that Rachel Levin, that's a dude. If we can't agree on a very, very basic thing, dudes are not and cannot become women. If we cannot agree on a very, very basic thing, we in our country were given the right to live our religious faith, meaning that we cannot be forced to participate in other people's delusions. If we cannot agree on that very basic fact, how can we expect a society that has been told they can customize everything, including their relationship with God, to not come to people like you and me and say, do you actually believe that God would cast us into hell simply because we didn't believe in him? I mentioned some evolving answers as the Holy Spirit spoken into this to me. And here's one that seems to resonate with folks. It's something I asked my daughter once. Do you want heaven to be just like earth? Do you want to spend eternity in a place with crime and sexual assault and war and depression and anger and rage? Or do you want to spend eternity where none of those things exist? I've yet to have a person say, I want the messy place, the ugly place. Well, no, of course that's what I want there to be. How do you do that without stopping those elements from being there? We're souls. We exist forever. There's no get out of jail free thing. All of us end on this earth and then exist eternally. How does God have a new heaven and a new earth when he just lets everybody in, including the people who rejected him and his laws here? You have a choice. I suggest you choose wisely, and if you haven't made that choice, understand, right now, you've decided to make it by not making it. We'll come back on The Disciples View.
So if you make it your goal to amass money, you'll always and only impress a limited sphere of people.
Russ Crossan on Focus on the Family Minute.
This helps me keep perspective. This idea of, I'm not going to make it my goal just to have more and bigger to impress people. I'm going to try to use my money to invest in posterity, invest in what God's doing around the world, and impact an unlimited sphere of people. Because like I said, Philippians 4:19 is true. My God shall supply all your needs. Mm. And so it might be an unexpected check or whatever, but your job, first of all, is to, all right, I'm going to do whatever to do the best of my ability to live within my income, whatever that income is. And then trust God to meet my needs, because he will, Jim. Right. I mean, you've seen it. I've seen
it.
Oh,
yeah.
I would just say to listeners, start where you are and have the courage to do it the opposite of most of the people around you, because most people are just like, you know, this will all work itself out. No, spend less than you make. Do it for a long time.
More financial advice from Russ at FamilyMinute.org.
Thank you for listening to Disciples View. We'll get to the Tower of Babylon here in a moment, as well as a personal note. Just a couple of cleanup items, I think important. The Attorney General of Kansas has won in courts the ability to pursue Pfizer, a company that has paid the biggest criminal fine in history, as I recall, and a company that I think it's an easy case to make. That lawsuits now are just COB, just cost of doing business. Because the fines they pay dwarf the money they extract from us. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach has won the ability to pursue this case, a federal judge rules. He is suing Pfizer for lying to the public about their drug, the COVID injections. And this is giving him an opportunity to go after this on a false advertising front and to get money on behalf of Kansans who were harmed, lied to, blackmailed, medically assaulted, in my mind, by these shots, forcing them into people who couldn't give up a job. And praise God for this. But just a reminder, please, to every single governor who ever wants to do the right thing on this, no one in your state, not a single person, actually got injected with that which was given the emergency use waiver. Not a single American ever received that shot because there's a bait and switch at the end. You can sue them for the shots because those weren't the emergency use authorization shots. I mean, it's great to see the false advertising claim, and I hope that goes through and I hope they win. because it'd be a win for all of us. That's a fantastic bit of temporal victory. And to the people who push these shots, I beg you to repent. Because I promise you, when God says a thing, it's already happened, and there will be a judgment day. God doesn't need time. That's a construct for us. That judgment day has happened. You have sat before the Lord, and you made a decision to repent or not. So I beg you to repent. In all of this, we go back to the figurehead Biden and what he knew and didn't know. It's very clear he wasn't running the country. It's clear to me this cancer had to have been there. Biden himself said he had it twice. He said, I have cancer. But central to this is now going back and saying, wait, of the pardons that were signed by Otto Penn, did Biden have knowledge of any of them? And is there a paper trail to show that he did? Do we actually have a paper trail where Joe Biden said, I want you to pardon Fauci preemptively? Now, you think of this. An Otto Penn created a preemptive pardon for crimes not yet named. So if it turned out that Fauci wasn't just killing people with the shots, and I don't think this is true. He's a different sort of sociopath. I don't think he would do these things. But if Fauci actually went out and put his hands on somebody and ended someone's life that way, he would have been pardoned. I mean, for future crimes, known and unknown. If he could say it was part of his job. And Fauci's continuing to try to reconstruct history on this front. He wants us to think that everything he said was true, even though he changed it multiple times. If you doubt me, listen here to Fauci.
There are a lot of things one can do to be prepared for the next pandemic. There were many things that we did right, and there are certain things that we need to do better. One of the things that we did, I believe, quite well was the scientific response. And by the scientific response, I mean doing in an unprecedentedly speedy way, getting a vaccine from the day we knew about this new virus was January 10th, 2020. 11 months later, we had in the arms of individuals a vaccine that was safe and 94 to 95% effective in preventing significant clinical disease. That time frame saved millions of lives, without a doubt, incontrovertible. No one can argue with that. The next bucket of preparedness and response is the public health preparedness and response. And we did not do as well as we should have. We had people who denied the fact that vaccines work, people who were actually anti-vaccine. There were people who felt masks were not necessary when we know they clearly are clearly effective in saving lives and preventing people from getting infected.
Every bit of it untrue. Demonstrably and easily proven to be untrue. Hence the weasel words. They were 95% effective at preventing severe clinical disease. What does severe mean? Define it. Prove a negative that it prevented it. I want to see an investigation into the pardon pen. I want to see an investigation into the auto penning of pardons. And Ed Martin, by the way, President Trump's pardon attorney, he says he's going to do that. Praise God. Oh, just one other thing. I mentioned this earlier, but I think it's important. The FDA has stopped, will reject future COVID shots for anyone under 65. Without a big new clinical trial proving they work. In other words, they're done. Because no clinical trial is going to prove they work because they are poison. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Tony Fauci on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, all of it about this kind of theme of the show. Of course it matters that we investigate what Biden knew and didn't know. And of course it matters who had the nuclear football. There was a final Democratic debate. We're told that, oh, this is all just very recent and Joe Biden just developed this and no one knew and no one saw it. Do you remember this from Biden?
Reduce the cost of drug prices. It sets up, it allows all the drug companies, it allows you to Medicare to negotiate. It should be free universal infant care, but here's the deal. Over 500 miles a day, 250 miles a day, there's no choice but to...
That was what was. Lawyers at the time were saying, he's not well. And yet Washington, D.C. wants us to believe they were shocked. There's a guy named Jake Sullivan. He was national security advisor to the figurehead. He's been around a long time. Very much mobbed up within the Beltway. Jake Sullivan reads his lines.
What happened in that debate was a shock to me. I think it was a shock to everybody. And I've made that point before.
Just finally, do you think, in retrospect, given everything that's happened, everything we've talked about today, it was a mistake for President Biden to try to run again?
One of the things about being national security advisor is that you're mercifully insulated from politics and political decision making.
You are? You work for an administration wherein everything was political. National security was politicized to the point of forcing our soldiers, female soldiers, to shower with men. Fully political. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. CNN is where Jake Tapper does his program. In his book, and that he wrote it with Alex Thompson, it has some details in it that matter, that should aid in an investigation. But CNN and Jake Tapper were willing, gleeful participants in covering up what was obvious to everybody else about Biden's state of mind. They recently had Gretchen Whitmer on. She's the dictator of Michigan who was embarrassed to have been in the White House. Remember that? She covered her face with a binder because she was there to ask for something from President Trump. So they want her to be the villain in this. In other words, CNN passes the buck.
All right, I want to move to another topic, and that is my colleague's book with Alex Thompson on President Biden's physical and cognitive decline during his time in the White House. You were a co-chair of the Biden-Harris campaign. You stuck with Biden until he dropped out of the race. Given your position in the campaign, what signs of decline did you notice?
You know, I've not read the book. I can tell you this, that if, as the book reports, cabinet members didn't have access, that tells you that, you know.
She kind of didn't want to answer that question, did she? Let me ask you a question. Did you see it? Was it obvious to you? With everything they did to hide it from us, was it obvious to you? Maybe there's this. Maybe God let us see it. Maybe they're so spiritually blind that they can't see it, because I believe this, if the devil can blind us to the reality of Jesus, I'm sure he can blind people to the reality of a figurehead. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
You men are not going to like me for saying this, but you know what?
I don't care.
America, I think it's time we form a state where only women can live.
No men allowed.
Just an estrogen-filled utopia where we can all finally live in peace.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I was just thinking about a conversation I had with my wife long ago about something that happened to her in school, because it's something that happened to me in school. You know, when I first met her, we gave each other some books. And one of them was Shel Silverstein's The Giving Tree. My girlfriend is now my wife, and we've been together for 29 years. She gave me that book to celebrate this connection we had. And it's so funny because we've grown to view that book differently. Both of us now see it as a book on codependence. But at the time, we just thought it was just a beautiful book. It still is. She told me this story about a girl with whom she went to school, who was probably from a poor family, a traditional family, and a girl came to school in a homemade dress. And people made fun of her. And my wife, as a young kid, was defending her. And this girl said, "My mother made this dress. And it's a beautiful dress, and I'm proud of it." And my wife grew up very tough, really hard circumstances. And sometimes she didn't have winter coats. And there's a lot of detail to that story. And other people had winter coats, and she didn't. And she could have. But her dad didn't provide her one. 1 year, I got my wife 3 really warm winter coats to tell her I never wanted her to be cold again. And gosh, I wish I was always a loving husband. I wish I didn't have the faults that I have. And I'm thinking about this connection that we have. And I'm thinking about something that happened to me in school. Very formative. It was very, very similar. There was a girl, and her name was Yvonne. It was the first person I ever met named Yvonne. And I guess it just wasn't a common name. And she was the first person I ever knew with an accent. And this was in elementary school. And I don't know where she was from. In my mind, I sort of remember it as an Eastern Bloc country because it's just the memory of that accent. And she would wear these knit dresses that were these patterns. Sometimes they were plaid. Sometimes they looked like quilts. I'm not saying they looked like bedding. I mean, they were formed to her body, clearly handmade. And you know how kids will sometimes pick a target, almost like the Alinsky thing, pick a target, isolate it, cut it off from its support base? She didn't have a support base. And so the girls started to pick on her for her dresses. And then she spoke almost the exact same thing that this girl spoke when my wife was in school. And she spoke it forcefully. "My mother works. These are the best clothes my mother can make. We don't have money like you have money. So my mother wakes up early and she makes these clothes and she makes my lunch and she makes it for all her kids because she loves us. Your moms go to stores and buy things. My mom loves us. So she makes." And as a little kid in elementary school, I remember being shocked at how well that landed. Something about "your moms go to stores" silence these girls. I've always wanted to find out what happened to her. She was only there for a year. I will never find her. But I'm just remembering all these ways that God planted seeds to say, "Yeah, you really do have a connection." Because that experience my wife had. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Till God gives us permission to speak again together. May his peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Adam this week and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.